Amen. Well, I know you guys got all my sermons memorized, right? Yeah, whatever. I can dream. But anyway, let's move on. I don't know if you guys remember. It was a while back, though, but I shared this amazing truth. It was something that was on our face, and we didn't even know it. Remember this thing? It was called the Demodex face mite. Remember that thing? This thing is awesome. It's incredible. You are never alone. Singles, pay attention. You are never alone because you've always got this baby on your face. Now, if you think I'm joking, folks, this is what's going on the outside of our face, whether we realize it or not, every single day. And the good news is it's going to be there till we die. Watch this. This is amazing.
Hey, you've got something on your face. Well, more like living in your face. Can't see them? Here, we'll show you. Researchers just use a little glue. Don't try this at home. When that thin layer of skin comes off, it takes some tiny hair follicles, that barely visible peach fuzz with it. Those follicles that came out look like a miniature forest. And inside some of them, that's a face mite. They've got 8 little legs, because they're actually arachnids, related to ticks and spiders. Yep, you almost certainly have dozens of these stowaways on you right now and don't even know it. They spend their days tucked right inside our hair follicles, next to the hair. All cozy. See that yellow stuff? It's sebum, that greasy oil your skin makes to protect itself from drying out. That's what face mites eat. When you're asleep, they climb out to the surface and mate before crawling back into your pores to lay their eggs. Now that you know that, you never have to be lonely again.
I told you, singles, pay attention, man. Not as bad as you think. Get it all. Hey, oh, have a good night's sleep tonight. 99. Are you kidding me? Oh, it's a face mite. You don't see it. It's living on your face, especially on your forehead, nose, and chin. He's always there, and it'll be that way until you die. That's your sermon. Let's close in prayer. No, it's not. Are you kidding me? Now, as freaky as that was, and it's real. I mean, it's on us. We don't even know it on the outside of us. That's freaky enough. In all seriousness, what's even more freakier is what's going on the inside of those who took the COVID shot. New technology is exposing what cannot be seen, but is nonetheless there. Watch this.
Thermography or thermal imaging can detect abnormal internal body temperatures, allowing it to highlight areas of inflammation and poor blood circulation. It is the most effective, non-invasive way of detecting deep vein thrombosis, otherwise known as blood clots. Biologist Felipe Reitz in Brazil has his own line of thermographic imaging equipment and began diagnosing his vaccinated patients who were injected with the COVID shots. What he found was extensive blood clotting throughout the entire vascular system in asymptomatic people who received the shot. This image was taken of a 23-year-old athlete. The dark lines are blood clots. This 23-year-old got the shot, but has no symptoms. Felipe Reitz also conducted live blood analysis, and like we've been hearing from several other researchers, Reitz is reporting the presence of foreign structures taking shape in the blood of the vaccinated, and has shown how the blood cells clump together as a result of getting the shot. Last week, Dr. Richard Fleming posted a video of what happens when the genetic vaccines are added directly to human blood. After adding the Janssen vaccine to a healthy blood sample, the blood can be seen under magnification as it begins to clump and cluster together in real time. Meanwhile, the CEO of Moderna, the company that price gouged their customers by 500% for the deadly shot, was given a 50% raise after cashing in $400 million of stock. The longer we go without justice, the more acceptable this becomes.
In other words, as harsh as it is, keeping your mouth shut on it doesn't help anybody, and it helps them to keep getting away with this. Lord willing, next week, I'm not a doctor, I don't play one on TV, but we're going to take a look at some of the medical advice from doctors who are not a part of this camp, like a Dr. Mick, who are saying there's some things you can do, a cocktail, to get rid of the blood clots. But see, this is what's so seductive about this. You think you're free and clear, because it's been a couple years. Maybe. Maybe not. This is what these evil, and I say it all the time, you're going to see it even more clear today, these satanic mass murder megamillennials are up to. And that's why we keep dealing with it. In fact, the last 15 times, that's why I've been taking a look at this guy, Klaus Schwab and the gang. He's a part of this, folks. This is where this is all coming from. And we need to deal with it. Why? Because it's a biblical issue. Why? Because in a nutshell, what he's building is what God warned about 2,000 years ago called the rise of the Antichrist kingdom. Completely convinced. You're going to see even more clear today. And then you look at his background. It's not a surprise. He grew up in Hitler's world. Right? His dad was buddies with Hitler. Won awards with the Nazis. This is Klaus's world. So he's basically taking what Hitler did and only made it as far as Germany, and now he's bringing it to the world. He doesn't call it the Fourth Reich. Okay, that's too obvious. That's what he should call it. Okay, he calls it the Great Reset. And what did he say was the trigger? You know, the trigger for Hitler was World War II. What was the trigger today? The COVID pandemic. Is the opportunity what? This is his words. A opportunity to, quote, reflect, reimagine, and reset our world. That's, it was on tape, right? He says it all the time. Okay. Now, for proof of that, we saw Klaus Schwab and the current Holocaust. It's still going on. That's the seductiveness. Also, their murderous motive. They consider us useless eaters, useless people. Again, straight out of Hitler. They're controlling the global food supply. They're also using that food to murder people. And they're also using genetics to get this stuff into people, even if you didn't get the shot. They're using different forms of genetic altering technology. Again, this is the eugenics program of Hitler. They're also admitting it's going to lead to an apocalypse, but who cares? That's their vision. It's satanic. They're also altering us as humans, and they're mixing us with animals, and they're even cloning us, as we saw. Then Klaus is big on the brain chips because they want to create a cyborg remote controlled human society, influence our thinking directly with brain chips. They're also creating genetic super soldiers, you know, in case you and I try to resist. Also, they don't call themselves Hitler's eugenics 2.0. They should do that, but basically the new term is transhumanists. And they not only have plans to genetically modify the whole planet, and it's already being done against people's will, but we saw last time, they got their methods. They're in total mockery and rebellion against God. They don't need God. They don't need Jesus Christ. They got a new gospel, a false gospel. They can create their own immortality through the transhumanist science and technology. They can live forever without God and Jesus, right? And they got their methods, right? The first one they said we saw last time was their head-to-head transfer. Remember that? They actually think, okay, see, this is why I don't need Jesus. Who cares about you Christians and the gospel? I'm just, before I die, I'm going to chop my head off and pop it on somebody else. Sounds crazy. We saw it on tape. That's exactly one plan. The other plan is they believe that they can, through science and technology, download the contents of the human brain before you die, these transhumanists, and then re-upload it into like a clone, which is going on. Also, maybe a cyborg or an avatar experience, computer reality, all that kind of stuff. And boy, guess what? You're in for a rude awakening. You can download bits and bytes of a person's brain, but you cannot transfer a soul. The moment you die, you're going to stand before God. God said that, Job 14:5. You, God, have decided the length of our lives. You, God, know how many months we will live, and we are not given a minute longer. They're in for a rude awakening, and they're going to stand accountable to God and before God for that. And again, so this is really what they're up to with all this transhumanist pipe dream. Now, if you're wondering, man, these guys, it just seems like each week it gets worse and worse. They get more and more evil. Just when you thought you heard of one evil satanic behavior, here comes another layer on top of that. Why? Well, the next couple studies, we're going to expose the why, and that is this. Klaus Schwab and the global occult background. There is a reason why, folks, these guys will literally, as we've seen so many times, they will literally be on tape. They will look you and I square in the eye and not just lie to us knowing on purpose it's going to kill millions of people. There's a reason why. It's because they're satanic. These guys are involved in the occult, and what's important for us to understand is that's the same society God said is going to be on the planet in the seven-year tribulation. That's how close we are. That society is here, okay? And they are laughing at us, folks. Right? You can laugh all you want, but Psalm chapter 2, God is laughing in heaven. And he says, you better kiss the sun or you're headed for his wrath. But that's a side note. Let's take a look at this last day society, Revelation 9. What's it going to be like? We're not in the 7-year tribulation, but what's that society going to be like? So we know if we're getting close to the 7-year tribulation, right? That's the whole point. Well, he describes it in great detail. These guys are wicked. They are satanic. Their hearts are so stinking hard. Even in the midst of being judged by God, they still will not repent. And it specifically calls out things they will not repent of. Okay, but let's take a look at that. Revelation 9, as we stand and read God's holy word. Verse 13 is where we start in Revelation chapter 9. If you find Revelation chapter 9, where do you go? 13, praise God, all two of you. You're getting there. Revelation 9, verse 13 happens to say this. This is the trumpet judgments after the sealed judgments. After the trumpet judgments comes the bowl judgments and the second coming of Jesus Christ with us, the church, Revelation 19. But here we are, trumpet judgments, right? So here's what he says. The sixth angel sounded his trumpet, and I heard a voice coming from the horns of the golden altar that is before God. It said to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. And the four angels who had been kept ready for it this very hour and day and month and year were released to kill what? A third of mankind. One fourth of mankind is already gone. 2 billion people already gone in the sealed judgments. Bang! Here comes another one. Here's another third of mankind wiped out. And you would think people would get right with God, right? Oh, man, I got it. Listen to how hard their hearts are. Another third of mankind killed. The number of their mounted troops was 200 million. I heard their number. The horses and the riders I saw in my vision looked like this. And their breastplates were fiery red, dark blue, and yellow as sulfur. Their heads of the horses resembled heads of lions. And out of their mouths came fire, smoke, and sulfur. And a third of mankind was killed by the three plagues of fire, smoke, and sulfur that came out of their mouths. And the power of the horses was in their mouths and in their tails. For their tails were like snakes having heads with which they inflict injury. One of those babies come at you. How many guys just say they kind of freak you out? And if you aren't saved, you're going like, I got to get saved. Ah! In the midst of being judged by God, you got these critters coming at you. Listen to how hard their hearts were. The rest of mankind that were not killed by these plagues, listen, still, even after all this, you still did not repent of the work of their hands. Well, what were you doing? Listen, they did not stop worshiping what? Demons and idols of gold, silver, bronze, stone, and wood, idols that cannot see or hear or walk, nor did they repent of their what? Murders, their magic art, some translations, sorceries or witchcraft, their sexual immorality or their thefts. You may be seated. But the Bible clearly says the last day society is not some great, hey, we're great, the human potential movement, mankind so wonderful, just leave him alone and he does great stuff. Are you kidding me? God exposes that in this time frame, this 7-year tribulation. You're so stinking evil. Right? No one righteous, no, not one. Romans chapter 3, right? The heart is deceitfully wicked. Don't listen to that thing, right? You need to get saved. All of us need to get saved. Everybody needs to get saved. But no, left to yourself, you will go down and do some horrible, rotten things. These people, listen, in the last day society, it clearly says, listen, they won't just be involved with demons. What did it say? They will worship them. A demonic worship will be taking place. And that explains certainly their behavior. In the midst of getting judged by God, they still won't turn to him. What's he got to do to get your attention? No, they're worshiping demons. And it explains their demonic behavior. Number one, murders. They would not stop murdering people. Where does that come from? Satan. John chapter 8. He's the liar, the father of all lies. He's a murderer. He's been one from the beginning. And of course, Satan is the biggest fallen angel of all. These guys are going to be worshiping demons. Dare I say Satan. And not only that, it says they were going to be engaged in another activity. The word their magic arts is pharmakeia. What word do we get from that? Pharmacy. Can I give you a vernacular? This is the global context. Big pharma. Is it by chance that big pharma has appeared on the planet at such time? Big pharma is not only worshiping idols of gold and silver. Big pharma, openly, admittedly, knowing it's wrong, still refuses to repent of murdering with their magic arts. And it is magic arts. The word there, pharmakeia, literally means drugs, as in drugs used in the dark arts. Like witchcraft makes their drug composition, potion with add these ingredients and whatever. And they, as we saw in our occult studies on Wednesday nights, they use it to kill people. They put all these ingredients together, and that's the occult. That's what that word means. That's what Big Pharma is doing. That's our society today. And no matter what goes on, this is why, listen, Klaus and the gang are at the heart of it. Big Pharma's a part of it. Our own current government is a part of it. And this is why, folks, this is why, that they will look us straight in the face, not just lie to us, knowing that it's going to murder a massive amount of people. That's the society that God said is going to be in force globally in the seven-year tribulation we leave prior. And you think Klaus Schwab and the gang, they're really using occult activity and drugs and all this stuff to really try to take over the planet? Yeah. And again, Lord willing, the next couple studies, unless something else happens, okay, we're going to deal with this occult background. And the first way we know that these guys are involved in the occult background, they're worshiping Satan, demons, is they absolutely worship Satan. They worship Satan. Listen, they think Satan is a good guy. I'm not joking. You're going to see this in a second. They worship him, just like the text says. They would not stop worshiping demons. Satan is a fallen angel, the biggest demon of them all. They worship him. And there's a reason why I picked Obama. You're going to see, Lord willing, next time, him, the Clintons, Biden. You're also going to see the Bush family, to be fair. This is why they do what they do, because they're all involved in the occult. But let's deal with Klaus today and his global elite powers. And you're thinking, well, are you serious? Klaus, wait a second. Klaus and the gang, the World Economic Forum, the United Nations, all these people working together, planning people all over the planet to take over the planet with Big Pharma being a part of the process. Where did they get this idea from? To rely upon and get involved in occult activity to take over the planet. I'm going to give you a hint. It rhymes with Hitler. You know why? Because it's Hitler. Hello. What have we seen every single study? This is the thread through it all. You want to know what Klaus and the gang are up to? Study Hitler. Everything. I'm telling you everything about Hitler. He's just taking, and Klaus is, and now extrapolating that to the whole planet. That's the secret. He said, Pastor Billy, how'd you find this stuff out? I didn't. All you got to do is look at Hitler. He's doing the same. All he does is relabel it. He isn't called the Fourth Reich. Right? He isn't called the eugenics movement. It's the Great Reset and transhumanism. It's the same thing, including the occult activity. You say, well, Hitler was involved in the occult? That was really the secret of him and where the desire came from to do the dirty deeds and do the Holocaust and murder people and try to take over? Yes. You will not understand Hitler, the Nazis, what went on during World War II, unless you understand two important things about Hitler. Number one, he was an evolutionist. These guys are evolutionists. That's their job, to speed up the process of evolution and transhumanism and speed us up and change us. Hitler was an evolutionist. These guys are an evolutionist. Hitler, the reason why, as we saw before, he started murdering the Jewish people is because he felt they were close to pure ape. They were the lowest version of humans on the planet. But he wasn't going to stop there. Remember, his goal was to create a super race, which is what Klaus and the gang are doing, right? And if he would have continued and made it through the Jewish people, he wasn't going to stop, folks. The next one on his hit list, he was going to start going after and annihilate the black African races. Then he was going to go after the Oriental race. Then he was going to go after the Slavics, on and on, until he was left with the perfect race. This is what Klaus and gang are doing. It's nothing new. The second thing you need to know about Hitler, just like Klaus and the gang, is Hitler was a heavy, heavy, heavy-duty occultist. In fact, it was the occult that put Hitler into power. Let me demonstrate that to you. It's called the Thule Society. The Thule Society is the ones, an occult society, that got Hitler into power. And this is all secular historians, they admit it. You will not understand what went on with Hitler until you understand he was an evolutionist and he was an occultist. Now, this Thule Society not only helped him get in the government, they just happened to be anti-Semitic as well. Now, this guy, a guy named Dietrich Eckart, is one of the seven founding members of the Nazi Party. And listen, he admitted that it was the not only the cult that got him in office, but it was the cult that was steering him in office. He said, and I quote, follow Hitler. Why? Because listen, this is this guy. He, Hitler, will dance, but it is I who have called the tune. I have initiated him into the, quote, secret doctrine, open his centers of vision, and given him the means to communicate with, quote, the powers. And again, they didn't just get him into office. They steered him while he was in office. And that was from this other occult member, this guy, Karl Haushofer. He was a member of another secret society called the Secret Society of the Golden Dawn. It is he who inspired Hitler to write Mein Kampf, quote, Haushofer had amazing psychic powers, and most people who write about Hitler say, listen, Haushofer, the occultist, the black magician, was the one controlling Hitler. So they got him in the office, the occult, and they controlled him while he was in office. And Hitler, clearly, even secular historians admit, he relied on occult powers to do what he did. Here's just one example, again, from secular historians even admitting this is what was going on behind the scenes with Hitler. Watch this.
Hitler reportedly meets famed astrologer Erich Jan Hanussen. Hanussen makes an unlikely prediction. In 30 days, a turning point, perhaps even power.
Well, this is impossible. In December of 1932, Hitler had no hope of gaining this type of power.
Hanussen suggests there is a tool to help Hitler realize his goal, a good luck charm.
Hanussen tells Hitler that he must go back to the town where he was born and find a mandrake root.
A mandrake is a man-shaped root sent by European occultists to possess powerful medicinal properties. According to author Peter Lavenda, Hitler asked Hanussen to find the root. Hanussen travels to Hitler's hometown and digs up a mandrake from a butcher's backyard. On New Year's Day, 1933, Hanussen presents the charm to Hitler. According to Professor Nicholas Goodrich Clark, this is Hitler's mandrake.
That Hitler had even received such an object and was prepared to accept it suggests some remarkable susceptibility to superstition or occult power of this time.
This Vienna newspaper shows Hitler with the mandrake. From a wire around its neck hung a capsule.
And in this capsule were some verses that Hanussen had allegedly written describing a league or bond between himself, the mandrake, and Hitler. These verses described that Hitler would have unlimited power and good fortune so long as he held true to this bond or league between himself and Hanussen and the mandrake.
Hitler's luck changes.
Within 30 days, because of a series of political negotiations that are taking place behind the scene, suddenly Hitler finds himself Chancellor of Germany on January 30th, 1933. Hanussen's prediction, an impossibly optimistic prediction, comes true to the day.
So Hitler, and this is secular historians, not a conspiracy theory, he was handpicked by the occult, put into office. He was steered by the occult in office, and he used occult powers and paraphernalia while he was in office. Now, one more thing, and then we'll show you that, yes, Klaus Schwab and the gang are also coming from the same occult root. Hitler, believe it or not, most people don't get this, he actually openly admitted that he was involved in the occult, including the people working with him and for him. He did that in two different ways. Number one, he had people wear this thing. It's called the swastika. A lot of people don't understand. Swastika has been around for a long time, folks. But the swastika was a magical symbol of the black occult. We just thought Hitler came up with it. No, it wasn't. So he had people wearing this, telling, in essence, this is what we're about. We are an occult organization. That was just the first one. The other thing that Hitler had people wear in the uniforms was the SS symbol. The SS symbol, we call it the SS symbol, but it's really not two S's, it's two lightning bolts. In the occult, they do this, the lightning bolt, because, as the Bible says, it represents Lucifer getting kicked out of heaven, falling to earth as a lightning bolt. So that's why the occult picks that. Again, they think Lucifer's a great guy. In fact, you even see this done repeated today with the band Kiss. They use the same thing. And shocker, this is that mark that's on the forehead of Harry Potter, of course, involved in witchcraft and things of that nature. This is the SS. So this is what's sad, right? And you wonder why I teach on the occult on Wednesday nights. Hitler openly declared, I'm an occultist, not just an evolutionist. I'm an occultist, and the people working for me are occultists. And we were relying on occult powers to do what we're doing, which explains their wicked, satanic, mass murderous behavior and their desire to take over the world. But people didn't get it. You know why? Because they were not equipped on these kind of issues. And you wonder why we're dealing with it as a church. You need to understand, because it's still going on today. Okay? But for even more proof, listen to this. Even secular historians admit the secret societies are the ones that gave rise to Hitler. He was guided by secret forces that shaped his ideology and gave him power. Secret societies had a great role in, quote, making Hitler. He wasn't just some guy that randomly got in, unfortunately, had a big ego, was a megalomaniac. No, he was handpicked by the occult, steered by the occult, let everybody know that there was a cult, but they didn't know the symbols, and that's why he did what he did. And so you're thinking, well, wait a second, he was probably possessed. Yes, he was. You get involved in the occult, that's what happened to me, that's what happens. And this is, again, from eyewitness accounts. Number one, this person says this. The individual named Hitler was only the temporary vehicle for when he got up in front of crowds to speak. The voice they heard was not his voice. It was an unearthly voice. Not at all like the voice they heard use him in conversation. People would say when he spoke, crowds instantly just got like almost mesmerized. They were just taken aback and sucked into him. Well, it's because he was demonically inspired. And he was possessed. And I quote, one eyewitness said this, Hitler wakes up in the night screaming in convulsions. He calls for help. He appears to be half paralyzed. He seizes with a panic that makes him tremble until the bed shakes. He utters confused, unintelligible sounds, gasping as if on the point of suffocation, standing in his room, swaying, looking all around as if he's lost. And then all of a sudden he says, it's he, it's he. He's coming for me. He's groaning. His lips are white. He's sweating profusely. And then suddenly he screams, there, there, there over in the corner. He's there. He's stamping his feet, screaming, quote, this is Hitler, a man totally possessed by Satan, attempting to take over the world, blaspheme Christ, blaspheme God, and wipe out the Jews. That's why many people say that Hitler was a type or a preview of the Antichrist to come. Because what's the Antichrist going to do? Try to take over the world. He's going to be possessed. He's Satan's man. He's going to blaspheme God. And again, the Bible says another Jewish Holocaust is coming at his hands. Now, can I tell you in a nutshell? That was Hitler. That's what he did. That's why he's called a preview of the Antichrist. Can I tell you something? It's being repeated today. It's just been relabeled by Klaus and the gang, except this time they're laying the foundation for the actual real Antichrist this time. Because it's the same thing. Because they are getting people to believe we need to submit to a one world ruler, a one world government. We need to let these guys take over the world to bring in this new Reich, the fourth industrial revolution, the great reset, to bring peace to the planet. That's what they're up to. Now, let me demonstrate that to you. You're saying, oh, that's kind of crazy, Pastor Billy. I mean, I get it. Hitler was. It's the proof's in the pudding. But, and a quote, been sitting on this for a couple months till I got here. It's finally starting to come out that, yes, shocker, that Klaus Schwab and the gang are involved in the occult. And this is a direct quote. Finnish professor exposes the occult roots of who? The World Economic Forum. Okay? Here he is on tape admitting it. And listen to some of the key people he says Klaus has been involved with for decades. And listen to theirs and Klaus's background. These guys come not only straight out of the occult, but listen, he's going to say it. The same occult background, shocker, of Hitler. It's just being repeated. Watch this.
What if I told you that you could trace the same sort of satanic, occultic religion that really vivified the Nazis to today's World Economic Forum? That might sound just too weird to be true, but what if there was evidence tying the two together? Well, that's what we're going to look at in today's episode of the John Hunter Weston Show. We have with us a guest, Mikko Paunikko is his name. Mikko, Professor Mikko Paunikko. And it's he who has done the research in this, he who has been involved with these kind of people in very elevated positions. And I think the conclusions that he draws, the evidence that he brings forward, are going to start with you.
Professor Paunikko's contention is that there does exist, as it were, a parallel pagan type religion, which can be traced back far beyond the foundings of organizations such as the Club of Rome, which in 1968 really hit the news in publication of a book, which is intended as a kind of neo-Malthusian manifesto. So what Professor Paunikko's work does in this regard is it shows how these globalists, as it were, or people such as the World Economic Forum pushing things like the Great Reset, instrumentalize an agenda of fear and doom, a catastrophic narrative, in order to recommend themselves as a necessary solution. Professor Pannier maintains that the reason for this is that they are esoteric, occultist fantasists. And his remarks about the Club of Rome and about a certain person recruited by Klaus Schwab reveal the occult tradition that inspires these people and which explains their complete departure from consensus reality. If Professor Pannier would like to tell us about that manner which Klaus Schwab recruited, we'd be very interested to hear about it.
As he recruited Maurice Strong as his financier, and Maurice Strong is the figure in Agenda 2030, or he died in 2015, but nevertheless, I have a chapter in this Postilla article. That there were the big mistake of Wizard of Baca Grande, but he and his wife, they are occultists, esotericists. Wife Hanne believes she's a reborn Indian, and more strong. They have this nature temple in Baca Grande in Colorado, where he made a big mistake by inviting one Canadian journalist for 1 week, and he told remarkable things that proves that he was definitely part of this esoteric cult. And later on, Schwab made a huge mistake in 2015, when he appeared in Swiss television, where he said some remarkable things that people's brains, he will hack people's brains with microchips, and people will be connected to internet, and the world elite will be able to influence thinking and beliefs and etc. Originally, the founder of Club of Rome, Aurelio Pecce, in his book, in one of his book, he really reveals the belief system of Madame Blavatsky. Where he expresses the very 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 basic principles of esoteric thinking and he also made it the first plans to organize this global governance system, which now appears to be complete.
To the innocent bystander who looks in and learns about Madame Blavatsky at all, it looks just like Satanism to me.
And that's because it is. Again, you were there in our Satanism study, spent 16 weeks on it, we dealt with the history. That was the birthplace of modern-day Satanism, Madame Blavatsky. But let's stir all this together, because he mentioned a lot of names, a lot of people who were a part of Schwab's background and who influenced him, admittedly, and were part of working with him. Quote, the same satanic occultic religion that vivified Hitler and the Nazis can be traced to today's world economic form and Klaus Schwab, who has recruited and worked for decades with occult people like Maurice Strong of the United Nations, and his occult wife and family and organization, other occult members like the Club of Rome, by the way, as we saw before, was the first one back in the day, late 60s, early 70s, who partitioned the planet up into 10 economic regions, which is what Revelation 17 said will happen to the planet, and they'll hand their power over to the Antichrist. Club of Rome, who has been working on global dominance, and they were influenced with an occultist lady named Madame Blavatsky. Did I get it right? Pretty much stir it all together, that's what you got. Well, let's begin to break it down. This is why, admittedly, I just, again, was on the website this week, World Economic Forum. This is their website. This is why Klaus Schwab, even though Maurice Strong, the occultist, died in 2015, still has on the World Economic Forum website a picture of Maurice Strong right there and, quote, an appreciation. If you scroll down from this, you will see this. This is Klaus speaking, still promoted on the World Economic Forum website. I am sadly deepened at Maurice Strong's passing away. He was one of the most extraordinary personalities I've ever met. He was deeply incorporated into the World Economic Forum's mission for the world. He was my mentor since the creation of the forum. Without him, the forum would not have achieved its present significance. I'm grateful to him for his guidance, partnership, and I will always remember the hundreds of hours we exchanged ideas. Yeah, occult ideas. It's still admitted. Without this occultist, the World Economic Forum would not be what it is today. This is that. Now, let's begin to break down some of the other characters mentioned that is inspiring all these critters that we're now dealing with. The one mentioned was Madame Blavatsky. Well, who's that? Well, again, we saw before, she was the founder of what was called theosophy. Theos, God, sophos, wisdom. Supposed to be God's new wisdom that the planet needs to read. No, this came from demons. Admittedly, demons were speaking through her. Okay, and we know it wasn't from God because what she taught. Okay, she taught that Lucifer was a good guy. And that we need to, basically everything we're seeing that Klaus is trying to implement, that the Bible is the only book on the planet that says, no, you don't want to be a part of that. That's the Antichrist kingdom. Everything that Klaus is wanting to implement, we need a one-world government, a one-world economy, a one-world religion. We need to submit to a one-world ruler. That's what these demons spoke through her, theos, sophos, God wisdom, to tell the rest of us. This is what it's called now, still in existence today, the Theosophical Society. But basically, they believe that Satan is a good guy. When you heard him say esoteric thinking, that's another phrase for this thinking. Satan's a good guy. One world, Satan's man. We've got to follow him to bring peace to the planet. Now, it's still in existence today. She started this in 1875 she was a rich Russian family. You know, those elites ain't got nothing better to do. And they got to come up with things for the rest of us to do because they're elites and they know better. That's her background, right? But it's still in existence today. In fact, many prominent members have been a part and are still a part of this Theosophical Society, that Satan's a good guy and we need to follow him to bring peace to the planet. This guy, Abner Doubleday, was a part of that. If you don't know who he is, he's in theory supposed to be the guy who invented baseball. Was a part of that. Just a side note. Also, Thomas Edison was a theosophist, a cult member. Wonder where he got his inspiration from, right? He invented the light bulb. Well, don't get me started on those demonic electric bills. You just thought it was a great thing. Yeah, the truth came out later, didn't it? Also, it's reported Albert Einstein. They say that because they found a copy of her book called The Secret Doctrine on his desk. What was he doing with that? Quote, they again believe that Satan is a good guy, that we need to follow Satan's man that's going to come one day into this wonderful age of utopia. Okay, and they weren't hiding it. And again, I came out of New Age and the occult, and it's all the same lie. Satan's a good guy. Christians got it all wrong. She was so blatant about it, she wrote this thing. It was called the Lucifer Journal. That's how she promoted these beliefs. Okay? And they said that when we follow Lucifer, being a good guy, the light bearer, that this is what's going to bring peace to the planet. Yeah, it'll be the exact opposite. Now, here's what's interesting. She described this wonderful age that was going to come if we would submit ourselves to Lucifer, believe that he's a good guy, submit to this one world ruler from Lucifer who's here to help us with the global government and all that stuff. And you know what the phrase she used to describe that time frame as? The New Age. That's where the New Age movement come from. When you hear about somebody being involved in New Age, which I came out of, you need to translate it for what it is. When somebody's a New Ager, what they believe, and I can vouch for this, I was a part of that camp. They believe Satan's a good guy, Christians got it wrong, Christians actually need to be gotten rid of. They're stopping the harmony of the earth. And we need to build a global government and a global religion if we're going to bring peace to the planet. That's what that phrase, New Age, really means, still to this day. Okay? And then she passes the baton to this lady, Annie Besant. She also was not only president of the Theosophical Society, but she got involved with another Lucifer-worshipping outfit called Freemasonry. Freemasonry, Lord willing, for still alive, still here. We'll get to that in a few weeks in our Wednesday night studies. And we'll begin to expose that. They say they worship the light. Well, you'll find out who that is. It's the light bearer, Lucifer. So she partners up with them. She also begins to push the women's rights movement, secularism, and listen, birth control. Why? Because they believe, these demons told them, that there's too many people on the planet. You need to lessen the population. This is where that lie of depopulation comes from theosophy. And this is why at about the same time, this lady pops up on the scene, Margaret Sanger, who founded Planned Parenthood, who began the satanic agenda of, had nothing to do with parenthood. It's about depopulating the planet. Specifically, she was an evolutionist too. Specifically, the minority races. It's in print. That's, and still to this day, that's where a lot of areas that it's pushed. Because, again, they're working towards a pure race. It's sick. The next lady it goes to is this lady, Alice Bailey. This is your United Nations connection, Maurice Strong. That is Klaus's buddy and inspiration. Right? Here's where it all goes down. She, too, was communicating by demons. She wrote it down into about 20 books. And she not only said this was going to be, this new age was going to be the destiny of the nations. Again, what is that? Lucifer's a good guy. Follow his man and bring in this global governments and religion, all that stuff. But they said, quote, we need to bring about a unified society with a global religion. So she starts calling not only for the global government, one world leader, but now a global religion. Now, she also had a new phrase. She began a new phrase to describe this new age, this basically satanic age. Lucifer's a good guy. Okay, and here's the phrase that she came up with to describe Satan's good guy, whatever. Not just the new age. It was also, she called it the age of Aquarius. Sound familiar? That was popularized in the music industry, which is still working with these guys, by the way. Okay. And we just thought that that was a cool song. And I'm not going to sing it, even though it would work well with this jacket today. But you know what I'm talking about. The age of Aquarius. So when you hear that, new age, age of Aquarius, translate it for what it is. Satan's a good guy. We need to follow this one world leader, one world government, one world religion. That's really what it is. Now, she, again, like Blavatsky, was open about believing that Satan was a good guy. She didn't write the Lucifer Journal like Blavatsky, but she founded this company, Lucifer Publishing Company. This is not a joke. It's in print. Because they think he's a good guy. Now, 3 years later, they change it to the term Lucis. And still to this day, it is in existence. By the way, you'll see in a second, working with the UN. And the current name is Lucis Trust. But it's Lucifer Publishing Company. Because again, they think he's a good guy. She then, shocker, not only with the music industry, she then sets up headquarters in this place called Crotona. It's still in existence today. It's called the Crotona Institute of Theosophy. This is in Ojai, California, which is just outside of Hollywood. So now she gets into Hollywood and not only the industry to begin to help promote this stuff. And they, she said, quote, there's people holding up this new age, this age of Aquarius. Guess who that is? Us. Quote, she says, there are people who are in the way, and sooner or later, we are going to have, quote, a religious war. And so is it by chance she headquarters outside of Hollywood and enlists their help that Hollywood not only pushes satanic occult themes, but what? What have we been dealing with decades now? Christians are dumb, they're brainwashed, they're dangerous, and they need to be gotten rid of. That was not by chance. Okay? Now, believe it or not, she also had a, if you didn't want to call it the New Age or the Age of Aquarius, they decided to come up with a symbol to represent this wonderful satanic utopia that was coming if we would just admit Satan is a good guy, Lucifer and his man, one world government. You know what that symbol is? I'm not joking. This will explain some things. The rainbow. We think the rainbow started with the LGBT. No. It comes from her. But then again, that explains the LGBTQXYZ alphabet group. What do they also believe? Christians need to be gotten rid of. You're the one stopping the harmony of the earth because you won't let us do. You're intolerant. So really, that's where the rainbow comes from. But it's the same mentality, right? Then she goes on to say that here's what we need to do if we're going to usher in this rainbow, this new age, age of Aquarius. We need to follow Lucifer the light bearer into a golden dawn. He will lead us into a new age of enlightenment, the age of Aquarius. He will bring peace to the planet. And, quote, we need to exterminate Christians. What? They don't believe that. Yeah. I was there. You heard my testimony. I hated Christians. I'd be on the front line back in the day, the pre-Jesus days, saying we need to get rid of them. This is a common New Age belief. Okay? They want to exterminate people who don't go along with this satanic agenda. Here they are on tape. Watch this.
A New Age group calling itself Solar Questers writes, "Those who hinder will be removed, liquidated. They must be wiped clean off the face of the earth." The authors of a New Age pamphlet titled Cosmic Countdown claim to have received messages from a higher intelligence. The pamphlet says the world should be forewarned to be on the lookout for the decimation of populations. These peoples will eventually be replaced by the new root race about to make its appearance in a newly cleansed world. But perhaps the most disturbing comments come from New Age author Barbara Marx Hubbard. Researchers John Ankerberg and John Weldon report that due to her vast financial wealth and influence among leading world politicians and industrialists, she is having a major impact behind the scenes. She has been influenced by spirits for almost two decades. In her book titled Happy Birthday, Planet Earth, Hubbard wrote, "The choice is, do you wish to become a natural Christ, a universal human, or do you wish to die? People will either change or die," she says. "That is the choice." Hubbard says, "There have always been defective seeds. In the past, they were permitted to die a natural death. We, the elders, have been patiently waiting to take action to cut out this corrupted and corrupting element in the body of humanity." Hubbard's spirit guides gave her a vision of things to come. They told her that out of the full spectrum of human personality, one-fourth is electing to transcend, one-fourth is destructive, and they are defective seeds. Now, as we approach the quantum shift from the creature human to the co-creative human, the human who is the inheritor of godlike power, the destructive one-fourth must be eliminated from the social body. Fortunately, you are not responsible for this act. We are. We are in charge of God's selection process for planet Earth. He selects, we destroy. We are the riders of the pale horse, death.
That last quote was from, quote, the Rainbow Swastika. That's what they call themselves, New Agers. That explains a lot. Again, folks, this is why these guys can look you and I straight in the face and not just lie, but knowing it's going to murder a whole bunch of people because that's what they want. You useless people, you defective seeds. You're stopping this new age, this age of Aquarius. Now, they had another phrase. Learn something new every day. That Alice Bailey had to describe this Lucifer's a good guy, need to follow his satanic man into a one world government, one religion. It wasn't just the new age. It wasn't just the age of Aquarius. It was this phrase. I don't know if you ever heard of it. Maybe somewhere. It's called the New World Order. The phrase, I'm not joking, the phrase New World Order also means the same thing as the New Age and the Age of Aquarius. It describes what they believe we need to do as a planet, submit ourselves to the fact that they believe Satan's a good guy, follow his satanic man into a one world. That's what the word New World Order really means. We thought it just meant, oh, they're trying to bring in a global government. No! It's another phrase to describe this Luciferian agenda. But I don't know about you, I'm so glad we don't see any politicians ever using that phrase. Folks, it's been going on for a long time, including back in the Nixon administration. Watch this.
You believe deeply in your system, and we believe just as deeply in our system. It is not our common beliefs that have brought us together here, but our common interests and our common hopes. The interest that each of us has to maintain our independence and the security of our peoples, and the hope that each of us has to build a new world order in which nations and peoples with different systems and different values can live together in peace.
I think even that does not describe why the world has changed so much and why the world has turned so much toward a new world order and a new kind of civilization.
Until now, the world we've known has been a world divided, a world of barbed wire, concrete block, conflict, Cold War. Now we can see a new world coming into view. a world in which there is the very real prospect of a new world order.
We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders.
This is a moment to seize. The kaleidoscope has been shaken. The pieces are in flux. Soon they will settle again. Before they do, let us reorder this world around us.
Our position was not that. Our position was to support action so that the will of the international community that Saddam Hussein disclose and dispose of weapons be enforced. And at the back of my mind was this sense that if the international community did not act here, then the international community would find it difficult to gain credibility for acting in other areas. And this new world order that we were trying to create was being put at risk.
I think the new world order is emerging, and with it the foundations of a new and progressive era of international cooperation.
The first decade of the 21st century, that out of what is will be seen as the greatest restructuring of the global economy, perhaps one even greater than at the time of the Industrial Revolution, a new world order was created.
Could you give us a brief big picture of how dangerous you think this time of history is? Is it a chronic annoyance or is it actual danger? And when will the United States see some end to these wars, especially the now 13-year war in Iraq, Afghanistan?
Jim, I think we are living through one of these historic defining times. I think we are seeing a new world order. Post-World War II, post-Soviet Union implosion, being built.
What do you think the most important thing is for Barack Obama? Obviously, you're here to talk about the anniversary for U.S.-China diplomatic relations, but if you had to say, this is going to be the country or the conflict or the place that will define the Obama administration, what would it be?
You can give a new impetus to American foreign policy, partly because the reception of him is so extraordinary around the world. I think his task will be to develop an overall strategy for America in this period when really a new world order can be created. It's a great opportunity. It isn't just a crisis.
What sort of a financial deal should Obama be seeking to strike when he travels to China next month?
No, I think this would be the time because you really need to bring China into the creation of a new world order, financial world order. They are kind of reluctant members of the IMF. They play along, but they don't make much of a contribution. So I think you need a new world order that China has to be part of the process of creating it. I think the makings of it are already there because the G20, in agreeing to peer reviews, effectively is moving in that direction.
Leaders and dignitaries of the European Union, representatives of our NATO alliance, distinguished guests, we meet here at a moment of testing for Europe and the United States, and for the international order that we have worked for generations to build. North Korea broke the rules, once again, by testing a rocket that could be used for long-range missiles. This provocation underscores the need for action, not just this afternoon at the UN Security Council, but in our determination to prevent the spread of these weapons. Rules must be binding. Violations must be punished. Words must mean something. The world must stand together to prevent the spread of these weapons. Now is the time for a strong international response, and North Korea must know that the path to security and respect
will never come through threats and illegal weapons. All nations must come together to build a stronger global regime.
Vice President Joe Biden calls the newest graduates of the Air Force Academy strategic thinkers as well as warriors and the future of the new world order.
It allows us to refocus our intelligence and military assets and resources to other parts of the world where they are needed, where we face new challenges. This is the world you are graduating into. This is what I want to talk about today with you for a few minutes. I believe we, and particularly you, your class, has an incredible window of opportunity to lead in shaping a new world order for the 21st century.
The affirmative task we have now is to actually create a new world order, because the global order is changing again. And the institutions and the rules that worked so well in the post-World War II era for decades, they need to be strengthened, and some have to be changed. So we have to do what we do best. We have to lead.
No, what you do best is lie. But boy, do we get duped. This phrase, New World Order, is the same exact meaning as the New Age, the Age of Aquarius. Satan's a good guy. One world religion, one world ruler. When he shows up on the scene, submit to him. One world, all that same stuff. Notice, maybe another side note, eye-opener, all these so-called rogue nations and rogue leaders, and why we need to rope China into this. Were they really rogue? Or it sounds like they were resisting this new world order. And we made up stuff like weapons of mass destruction as an excuse to take them out so they'll get in line. We've been duped. Now, the belief is they're going to build this one world government, one world religion, even mentioned one world economy, this new world order, new age, Age of Aquarius. And then when the right guy comes along, they're going to hand it over to him. And again, none of this makes sense until you, shocker, read the Bible. God tells you that's exactly what's called the Antichrist kingdom. That's what these guys are building. And this was the crazy, alarming, freaky thing that now King Charles said recently at one of their global meetings. You'll see Biden in the audience. Said that they need to hand this over to that guy. On tape. Remember this one?
Your Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, the COVID-19 pandemic has shown us just how devastating a global cross-border threat can be. Climate change and biodiversity loss are no different. In fact, they pose an even greater existential threat, to the extent that we have to put ourselves on what might be called a warlike footing. Having myself had the opportunity of consulting many of you over these past 18 months, I know you all carry a heavy burden on your shoulders, and you do not need me to tell you that the eyes and hopes of the world are upon you. To act with all dispatch and decisively, because time has quite literally run out. With a growing global population, creating ever-increasing demand on the planet's finite resources, we have to reduce emissions urgently. Here we need a vast military-style campaign to marshal the strength of the global private sector. With trillions at its disposal, far beyond global GDP, and with the greatest respect, beyond even the governments of the world's leaders, it offers the only real prospect of achieving fundamental economic transition.
Who's he? Did you catch that? With trillions, not millions or billions, trillions at his disposal, far beyond global GDP, with the greatest respect, beyond even the governments of the world's leaders, it offers the only real prospect of this transition into what? The new world order, the new age, the Age of Aquarius. until you understand these guys' occult background, you'll never understand what's really going on. We're being totally lied to, but the Bible is the only book on the planet that tells you where it's headed. Shocker. Now, let me give you real quick the connection with the UN. We talked about Maurice Strong a little bit. Let's get into him again. Madame Blavatsky, all this other stuff, New Age, all this stuff. The UN, again, with Maurice Strong, that's Klaus's buddy. Remember, he admitted, couldn't have the World Economic Forum without this guy. He's this huge occultist. I was there several years ago doing a documentary, me and Reed. We actually got inside the UN, and I'm smiling because like, I was able to sneak in there. And so it was there. If you think it's crazy on the outside, you should see the inside. They don't hide their goal. We're all about bringing a one-world government, one-world religion. We're going to bring peace to the planet. That's what they exist. It's all over the place on the inside, including they have their own meditation room, right? Meditation room. It's a cult, it's an occult group, folks, right? That's on the inside. You can't see there was also an altar in there. It was kind of freaky and things of that nature. But Alice Bailey, remember her? Lucifer Publishing Company, now Lucis Trust. This is their website. They clearly admit that they're still to this day, Lucifer Publishing Company, still working with the UN. If you, and I invite you to do this, click on the section that says World Goodwill, and you'll start seeing articles like this. And I quote, "The New World Order and the Work of the United Nations, the World's Spiritual Teacher, Esoteric Community, and the United Nations." And another one, "Preparing the way for the reappearance of the World Spiritual Teacher, the Work of the United Nations, and the Worldwide Esoteric Community." In fact, every year they promote with the UN what's called World Invocation Day, where you can pray a prayer, a meditative thing, it's an occult practice, invoke, that's their word, invoke this new age upon the planet. Here's the guy promoting that annual event.
"The Great Invocation is a prayer for all humanity. Its use brings about powerful changes, not only in ourselves, but in humanity as a whole. It contributes to the healing of the planet and the birth of a spiritual culture on Earth. We invite you to join the many thousands around the world who use the invocation each day, precipitating light, love, and power into human consciousness."
And of course, I'm not going to share that so-called meditative prayer because it's from the occult. But this is what it is. Every year, it's an annual event. We're going to invoke this new satanic age. Quote, "The evidence of the growth of the new age," this is from Alice Bailey, "can be seen in the planning of various nations and the efforts of the United Nations to formulate a world plan." And what is that world plan? This is Robert Mueller, former Assistant Secretary General of the United Nations. He puts it clear. This is theosophy in a nutshell. This is who Klaus is working with and all the global elites. And he said this, "All of humanity right now needs to work as quickly as possible to align ourselves under a one world government, one world religion," and there it is, a one world ruler. If you do the research, Lucis Trust, Lucifer Publishing Company, Alice Bailey also has the backing, and I quote, of the World Bank, the Rockefeller Foundation, Greenpeace, International Amnesty, etc., UNICEF, you name it. This is what's going on in the background. Now, let's wrap it up. These leaders, they also use another phrase to describe this whole Lucifer's a great guy, we're going to bring utopia on the planet. Not just the New Age, not just the Age of Aquarius, not just the New World Order. You ready for this? They say, "We're here to bring peace and security." Peace and security. That's the exact phrase. In fact, if you scroll down, this is from the UN's website, just from last week. There it is, peace and security. In fact, what's interesting, Reed recorded on audio, because I was interviewing one of the guides who took a tour. And I said, when she was done, I said, "Hey, you got a second here?" And I said, "Why do you exist? Why does the UN exist? What are you here for?" And she kept saying that same phrase. "We're here for peace and security. Peace and security. Peace and security. That's why we exist. Peace and security. Peace and security." Now, they admit that there's two things holding up this peace and security in order to bring this utopia to planet. Right? And you know what it is? Two things. One, guess who? Christians. Number two, it's the conflict that's going on with the Jewish people in the Middle East. Right? And so of all phrases, though, here's the important thing. Peace and security. Peace and security. The Bible says when you hear people on the planet saying that phrase, you're about to hit the seven-year tribulation. I didn't say that. God did. Watch this. This is wild, folks. It writes itself. It's almost like God's trying to warn us in advance or something. 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 through 3. Now, what's that? 5, 1 Thessalonians 5, that's what? The chapter right after the rapture, right? 1 Thessalonians 4. He says this, but concerning the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord, which starts at the 7-year tribulation and moves forward. So basically you can say, you know, you know yourselves perfectly that the day of the Lord, the 7-year tribulation comes as a thief in the night. For when they say what? Peace and safety, boom, sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. Now, of all phrases there, it just happens to mention not peace and happiness, not hope and prosperity, but peace and safety. Now, what's interesting, the word there, safety, is the Greek word asphalia. And go look it up in the Greek lexicon. You know what the primary meaning really is? Not safety, it's security. As in security from enemies. Direct quote from the Greek lexicon. So saying the phrase peace and security is exactly the phrase that God said. When they start saying that all over the place, oh, the 7-year tribulation is about there. It's a good thing we don't see people saying that phrase. Just like New World Order, that too is all over the place. Watch this.
Israel and Palestine living side by side in peace and security.
Peace and freedom is a right to us, inasmuch as peace and security is a right for you.
Restore international peace and security in between the Palestinians and the Israelis by this phrase.
To these rocket attacks, to ensure that we are building a lasting peace that will allow Israeli and Palestinian children to live side by side in peace and security, to provide hope.
On this journey, I am reiterating the President's commitment to his vision of two democratic states, Israel and Palestine, living side by side in peace and security.
The lesson of history is that peace and security do not come easily.
Peace and stability that people on all sides long for.
Two states for two peoples living side by side in peace and security is not a vague slogan, but a real necessity for the stability in the entire region.
Israel and Palestinians, they can live side by side in peace and security. This is our vision and this is our commitment.
Spoken a new deal, peace and security and friendship.
My hopes and dreams for Israel are to live in peace, and security.
Two states living side by side in peace and security. True security for all Israelis. We will also pursue peace between Israel and Lebanon.
In peace and security.
Israel and Syria.
Peace and security.
And a broader peace between Israel and its many neighbors. Must decide whether we are serious about peace and security. To recognize Israel's legitimacy and its right to exist in peace and security. That's how we will find new pathways to peace and security. That is the work that we must do.
In peace and security.
Peace and security and coexistence.
2,000 years ago, God said, I'm not going to tell you exactly when the rapture is going to happen, but I will give you some signs. How do you know the 7-year tribulation is about to be thrust on the planet? And you leave prior, so that should motivate you. When you hear, not catfish and tater tots, as yummy as that sounds right about now, peace and security. Peace and security. Specifically when it comes to what? The Jewish people of the Middle East. Bang! Sudden destruction comes upon them and they will not escape. So why is it sudden destruction? Put the timing together. Theosophy says what? What's holding up the planet of this new age, this satanic age, this new world order? Christians, number one. What was the second one? What they say with that phrase. We got to bring peace and security to Israel. Well, guess what? That's the event that starts the 7-year tribulation. That's Daniel 9:27. You see how it all fits together? It's almost like God knows what he's talking about. He, the Antichrist, will confirm a covenant, a peace treaty with the many, the context Israel, for 1:7. That's the very event. So a guy is going to rise on the scene. He's going to do the peace and security treaty with Israel. That's what starts it. That's why sudden destruction. It starts with a false utopia. Yay, finally peace to the planet. But then here comes a global war, and it doesn't stop from there. And they're calling that phrase out right now. But wait a second. That was the second problem. What about the first problem? Those nasty Christians who are restraining against us, who's blowing the whistle on the fly in the ointment. What's going to happen to us? This is from Alice Bailey, and we close. In order for the age of Aquarius to start, certain people will just disappear. further. She says, then we will create this new race on the planet. But there are people now in this process that that we're headed for that will, quote, not evolve. They are very low-grade human bodies. Listen, they will disappear, causing a shift in the world. Oh, you betcha there will be. That's 2 Thessalonians 2, right? The Antichrist can't appear to make that peace and security treaty with Israel until we disappear. When we disappear, he appears. They get their peace and security, their new world order, the age of Aquarius, the new age. Bah! Isn't that wild? And Alice Bailey says this to those that are left behind. It's okay. Those people will be taken care of, those of us that got raptured. But for you, the chosen ones, mankind will be transformed into this new age. Which is just like Satan, because God says, no, it's not going to be a good time. Jesus said, for then there will be great distress, unequaled from the beginning of the world until now, never to be equaled in. It's mankind's greatest nightmare. And guess what? Klaus Schwab and the gang, political leaders, even our own country, this is what they're up to. But they've done one thing recently. They've come up with a new term. Not just the new age, age of Aquarius, the new world order. You know what the latest term to describe all we just talked about is? The Great Reset. They still use it. This is what they mean, because Hitler used World War II as the trigger to try to bring in his Fourth Reich. They started the pandemic on purpose to bring in this new age, age of Aquarius, new world order, Great Reset. To what? Reflect, reimagine, and reset our world. And the Bible is the only book on the planet that says, nope, you better take the one way out right now through Jesus Christ. It is the blood of Jesus Christ. His death on the cross is the only way to escape the horrors of what is about to be unleashed on this planet. You don't want to be there. But that was just the first proof. The second one is these guys, Bush was involved? Yeah. They hate God. They not only worship Satan, as you just saw, Lucifer's a good guy. They hate God. Which, believe it or not, if you read the Bible, and I highly recommend, is another sign that you're in that last stage of destruction before he comes and gets us. But we're out of time. We'll get to that next week. Let's pray. Well, hi, this is Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries, and I hope you were blessed with this study. But in closing, let me ask you one final question. If you were to die today, are you sure that you go to heaven and not hell? Before you answer that, let me share a couple things that the Bible says. Did you know that the Bible says that God is holy and that we are not? And the wages of our sin or unholiness is death? In other words, we deserve to die and go straight to hell and be separated from God for all eternity. This is the great cosmic dilemma. God, who is holy and we are not, how can we have a relationship with him? The two will never mix. Now, to make matters worse, we don't even want to admit this, even though God already knows he's God. And so God, out of love, gave us something called the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were not something to just memorize or stick on your wall or give the appearance of being a religious person. The Ten Commandments were God's divine x-ray, if you will, into our heart and soul to reveal this truth that we need to admit. And that is this, that God is holy and that we are not. We are disqualified for heaven. So let's take a look at that divine x-ray that God's trying to get us to realize. The Ten Commandments, the ninth one says, you shall not bear false witness. That's lying. Okay. How many guys have ever told a lie? Raise your hand. Okay. Well, if you didn't raise your hand, you just did. You just told a lie, because we've all done that. Well, that makes us a liar. Another Ten Commandment says that you shall not steal. Don't ever take anything without permission. How many of you guys have ever done that? Well, you guys already said you're a bunch of liars. All of our hands should have went up on that one. And if we're being honest, God already knows. Folks, we've all taken something. We've stolen something, right? That makes us a thief. Another Ten Commandments says that you shall not use the Lord's name in vain. He's not just holy. Even his name is holy. Hey, folks, let's be honest. If you can believe it, even the name of Jesus Christ has been turned into a common cuss word. Well, the Bible says that's a sin of blasphemy. Now we're a blasphemer. The Bible says you shall not commit adultery. And Jesus said, here's his standard. Even if you look at another person with lust in your eye, you committed adultery in your heart. Wow, so now we're an adulterer. The Bible says you shall not murder. And you might think, well, hey, at least I haven't done that one. Really? Again, the Bible says that the sin of hatred, wishing somebody was dead, okay, that's the same thing. It's akin to the sin of murder. It's just you pulled the trigger in your heart, but God sees the heart. Hey, folks, that's just 5 out of 10. How are you doing? You still think you're going to get to heaven on your own? You still think that you're qualified, that you're holy like God, and you could bridge the gap and have a relationship with Him forever? I don't think so. I mean, what did we just see? You're going to stand before God, and so am I. We all are. And we're going to have to give an account for who we are. Hey, God, let me in. I'm a liar. I'm a thief. I'm a blasphemer. I'm an adulterer. I'm a murderer. And the scripture is very clear, folks. Such people as these will not inherit the kingdom of God. We're in trouble. But folks, here's the good news. The Bible says that if we would just admit that, that's the first step. To admit that God is holy, that I'm not, I'm disqualified for heaven, I need a Savior. If we would admit that and then ask for the Savior to save us. That's what God was doing with Jesus. God gave us His Son, Jesus Christ. He took the death penalty in our place so that we could be completely forgiven of everything we've ever done and be made holy through Jesus so that we can now have a relationship with God both here and now and forever in heaven. We can become qualified. The word that the Bible uses is a word called pardon, that God is willing to pardon us of all of our sins and crimes that we've committed against Him and disqualified us for heaven, right? And we've actually seen this work in real life. For instance, there's been people who have committed crimes, gone to court, the gavel's been passed, the judge has said, hey, listen, we all know you're guilty, you even admit you're guilty, and for your crimes, you're going to not just jail, you're going to await in jail to go to the death penalty. And did you know that there actually is a way that somebody could get off of death row? It's called a pardon. The one in the authority, the governor, can grant what's called a pardon for that person's crimes, and they literally can go free. Not because of something they did, because the deeds are already done, you can't undo it. Not because of they tried to clean up their act while they were stuck in the jail cell, because that doesn't change anything. But simply out of mercy, the person who has the authority can give them a pardon, and they can go free. And did you know it's actually on historical record that there have been people who have been granted a pardon from the death penalty and they've refused to take it? And so even though the offer was there to be set free, they themselves still had to go to the death penalty. Folks, in a nutshell, that's what God's doing every single day with all of us this side of heaven. While you still have breath, you still have an opportunity to receive God's pardon. He's willing to forgive you of all your sins if you would just receive His pardon through Jesus Christ. Again, that's what He was doing on the cross. The cross was the death penalty of the day. But since we weren't there, and since we can't earn it, it's a gift from God, you have to receive that by faith. Reach out even today from your own spiritual jail cell, if you will, and say yes to Jesus and God's pardon, so that you could be set free and go to heaven. The Bible says that if you will confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the grave, you will be saved. Hey, folks, if that's you, don't delay. You may not even have tomorrow. Today could be your last day. Please accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Confess with your mouth He is Lord. Believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the grave, and the Bible says you will be saved. Well, this has been Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries. If there's anything that we could do for you, our information and number will come up here shortly. And please don't hesitate to contact us. But remember, I hope to see you in heaven. God bless.